just so proud of people coming out on a nice Wednesday night and putting God first. You'll be blessed for it. Praise God. I believe people are getting a revelation around here that God has help for us, and it comes in the form of being planted in our church. Amen. You know, the Bible says this is important that you understand this. The Bible says they that be planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. I'm just here to tell you right now, you need to listen to this and make sure that you understand, especially what we're talking about with hearing and healing, that the house of God is the most important place in your life. Amen. Let me say that again. The house of God, the church, is the most important place in your life. Amen. You can't be here too much. You can't go to church too much. If you have that thought in your head that I go to church too much, it's not from God. Because the Word says if you'll plant here, that means you're here when the doors are open, you will flourish in the courts of our God. You can't go to church too much. You can't hear the Word too much. You can't be around Jesus too much. I remember when we used to do the youth group in Jamestown, you know, at times people would say, they're going to church too much. The kids are going to church too much. No, you can't go to church too much. This is the best place for you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And the Bible says if you'll plant here, you'll flourish. Life will be different for you. Praise the name of Jesus. And we'll speak a little bit more on that tonight. But I love this place. I see people responding, you know. And listen, is it always convenient to come on a Wednesday night? No. Is it always the easiest on the flesh? No. Is it always what your mind wants to do? No. But is it the right thing and the best thing for you? Yes. Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth. Praise God. I love the fact that the people that come, you know, and plant their kids here and, you know, make it a priority. Our kids' lives are going to look different than the kids' lives in the world. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. Praise God. So, we're in the right place at the right time. But if you have your Bibles, go to Matthew 4 and verse 23. Can't be here too much. No, you can't be in church too much. The devil would like you to think you go to church too much. Why? To get you to not come to church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 4 and verse 23. Of course, we're continuing. I don't know if it's a series. It's just what's on my heart. I'm not saying for the rest of our Wednesdays, for the rest of our life, we'll preach on this. But this is the flow we're in right now. Father, help us tonight. Lord, we're all here with different needs, different circumstances, different questions, different pressures, different things going on in our life. Speak to us tonight. Father, nobody came out to hear Mike Anderson. They came out to hear from the Holy Spirit. They came out to hear from heaven. So, Father, I thank you. As I open my mouth, you're going to fill it with words from heaven. And, Father, I thank you that people's lives will be changed. People's situations will be changed. And we'll give you the praise for it, Father. We'll give you the glory for it, Father. We thank you for help. We thank you for revelation tonight. We thank you for boldness and we thank you for utterance. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, Matthew 4 and verse 23 says this. And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues. What was he doing? Teaching the word in church. And preaching the word in church. The gospel of the kingdom. And then look what the result was. And healing. And healing. He was teaching, preaching, and then there was healing. Listen, if you need healing in your life, listen, I'm not talking about just physical healing. We are talking about physical healing tonight. But I'm saying this, if you need any healing in your life, you need any change come in your life, you know what's going to precede the change that you need? The teaching and the preaching of the Word. Amen. That's what's going to come. The teaching and the preaching of the Word, then there's increase, praise God. And we see in Luke chapter 5 and verse 15, echoes the same sentiment here. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 15... Oh, I already feel a whole lot of bubbling utterance coming right up out of my heart. And Luke chapter 5, because people need to hear things. You know, people come in here with different things and different situations. And somebody's got to tell them how to be different. Somebody's got to tell them how their life's going to change. And so Jesus knows that. The Holy Ghost knows that. But Luke chapter 5 and verse 15 says, "But so much more went there a fame of him, and great multitudes came together to hear." The first priority they had to have was they came together to hear. And what was the result of the hearing? To hear and to be healed of their infirmities, their weaknesses, their sicknesses. Or you could say it this way. You want your troubles to be healed? You got to hear first. You want your troubles to be fixed? That's why when he said, they that are planted in the house of God will flourish in the courts of our God. It's not the act of church that gets your life to change. There are many hundreds and thousands of people that faithfully go to church every week and their lives are hell on earth. It's not the act of going to the building, walking through the door and sitting faithfully in a seat. No. It's being planted in a church built by God. Doing God things, which is what? Sowing the word. Sowing the word. The word brings our increase, praise God. You can see the word brought increase in these people's lives. Jesus knew it. He said, I need increase in these people's lives. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to teach and preach the word. Then we'll get increase. Yeah. These people knew I need increase. So the first thing I need, I got to hear it. And then I'll have increase. You know, in the parable of the sower in Mark chapter, well, there's a few different places. Mark chapter 14, Matthew chapter 14 it is. And different places in the gospel, the parable of the sower, we see that the word is sown, and when the word is sown, then increase happens in people's life. It doesn't happen the other way around. Corn doesn't come up out of the ground in the cornfields in the summer until first somebody sowed a seed onto that. But once the seed was sown, then increase could come. Well, I want increase in my life. I want increase in my life. Well, you got to get the word sown on you. I need healing. I need healing. Well, you got to have something sown on you to get that increase. And isn't it interesting that in the beginning of that parable of the sower, the Bible says that the devil comes to steal the word. Tries to get the word out of people's lives. Well, that goes along with what I just said in the intro, that people get told, I go to church too much. That's why people don't have the revelation of coming on a Wednesday, because they come on a Sunday and they think that's it. They think that's it. There's no revelation. That's why people don't come to guest minister meetings and make the sacrifice to come out on 3-4 nights in a row to hear the word, because I come on Sunday. They don't have a revelation. Right. More hearing, more increase. Right. Yeah. That's why the devil, he comes to steal the word. So he tells, you don't need to go to that meeting. Oh, you don't have to go to Wednesday night. You come on Sunday. What's he doing? Taking increase out of their life. Yeah. I'll prove it by the word. I don't mean to get ahead of myself, but didn't Jesus say what measure you hear, that's what you'll get back? So the more good you're hearing, the more good's going to come in your life. The less good you hear, the less good it's going to come in your life. It's just how it works. It's just how it works, praise God. So go with me to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. We're talking about hearing and healing. So we need to walk in divine health. Why? Life's better when you're healed. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've been sick. I've been well. I choose well. Amen. I like well better. And besides, I don't want to be well just for me. I want to be well for others. I want to be well for the body of Christ. I want to be well because I'm one of his soldiers on this earth. So are you. Going about and doing God's work, going against the devil and his army. I want to be well. Amen. You imagine if the United States military sent out here they go, they're getting ready to take over. And the general walks, he says, I want everybody that's well to stay back, and I want everyone who's suffering from the flu, suffering from headaches today, suffering from anything wrong, I want you on the front line. Oh, you'd already be at a disadvantage. Yeah. Amen. Well, we can't go out into the world and take down the devil and his kingdom if we're sick. I want to be well for him, praise God. So that's what we're talking about, the relationship between hearing and healing, and also talking to you about healing. Why? Because when I'm talking to you about healing, you're hearing it. Amen, you're hearing it. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25 says, and there's a certain woman which had the issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had. It was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard. Everything up until this point was singing us a doom and gloom sad story about this woman that suffered with the issue of blood for 12 years. The Bible says she spent all that she had. That means she was a wealthy woman if she had enough money for 12 years to try to fix this. And now it's wiped out. The Bible says she doesn't have anything left. So we're singing doom and gloom until verse 27, it all changed. When she heard, from this point on, everything in this story goes uphill, doesn't go rolling downhill bad. It gets better is what I'm trying to say. Doom and gloom up till this point, right? Sick, 12 years, incurable, spent all that she had, nothing better, grew worse, everything's bad, until this point right here. She heard of Jesus. She came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway or immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came down and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said, "Daughter, your faith made you whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague." But go back to verse 27, if you would. When she heard. If you're watching a TV show about this woman, you know, go and talk about all her life story in the beginning, you know, and go through her life and show when she got sick and then show the 12 years of struggling and suffering, right? And then it would lead you to the end and then you'd see "to be continued." And you wonder, what's going on? Almost like two different episodes here. We have the episode of doom and gloom and the episode of her life being changing, but everything hinged on verse 27. When she heard that Jesus, heard of Jesus, well, in her condition, she must have heard that he was a healer. Why would she have come to him if she didn't hear he was a healer? Why would she come to him if there wasn't noise going out about him or fame going out about him of being a healer? The hearing changed everything, or you could say this, the hearing preceded the healing. What is it in your life right now that you say, "Pastor Mike, I'm sick and tired of this. Pastor Mike, I can't stand what I'm facing. I can't stand what I'm going through. I can't stand what's going on in my finances. I can't stand what's going on in my relationship. I can't stand what's going on in my mind, what's going on in my emotions, what's going on in my body." If you want change, something has to precede the change. It's called the hearing. She doesn't change her whole life until she takes care of that thing first, which was the hearing of Jesus. Praise God. So I want to spend a little more time focusing on the hearing here tonight. Because in this story, the vital part, or where everything, the crossroads and everything took a turn for the better, is where the momentum started to build in her life, was at the hearing part of it. And I really believe that when things are vital, we as human beings don't just get those ingrained in us when we just casually mention it every once in a while. I like to use my kids as an example in things around the house. When they're going to eat their cereal and we say, get a spoon out of the drawer, there's a spoon in the drawer. I don't repeat to them over and over and over and over and over again, "There's a spoon in the drawer." It's not really that vital. Nothing really important hinges on it, right? But when they're in my office, and I got hardwood floors and they've been put a gloss on there, it's slippery, and they have their socks, and they go down my wooden stairs. Every single time they go up, "Do not run down those stairs. Do not run down those stairs. Do not run down those stairs. Make sure you don't run down those stairs. Be careful on those stairs. Go slow on the stairs." Why? It's important. It's vital. So because it's important and vital, I say it over and over again. When they go outside to ride the bike, y'all know, don't go past a certain part in the driveway. Hey, if anybody pulls in the driveway, you don't sit there and look at him. You don't go meet him. You go run in the house. Tell us who it is. Come right, run in. Every time they go outside, because they're getting the age now where they can be outside in the yard and playing without us being right there watching, Of course, we're always right by it, not too far away. But when they're out there playing themselves, someone pulls in the driveway, your initial reaction, you come right into the house. You don't ride your bike past a certain place. Every time they go out. Why? Because it's important. And if the hearing is important, and if everything changes and hinges on things changing our life, then we need to spend time on hearing, because it will give us the idea and the impression that it's important that we are making sure that we're hearing. Amen. Amen. That we're making sure that we're hearing, because the hearing is our part. In the change, God has a part. God had a part with this woman with the issue of blood. Jesus was the power carrier. But she would have never got acquainted or received or be able to draw out from that power, because he was going through her town regardless if she was coming out of her house or not. He would have done his thing and gone to the next town, and she would have stayed without the power of God flowing in her life. But the thing that got the power flowing in her life started at the hearing. Praise his name. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. The devil will tell people anything to keep them from this place. Oh, you don't need to go there. Oh, you don't need to go that much. You're going too much. You don't need to go that much. That's a lie. This is the best place on earth. The house of God. Praise the Lord. It's where our help is. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20 says this. Look at this. He says, my son, attend to my words of the word of God. What did Jesus say? He preached, taught, preached, and then the increase came. People came to hear the word, that increase came. So now he's saying, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear, your own ear, to my sayings. What's he saying? Make hearing a priority. Make sure you hear. Make sure it's a priority. And then look what we know the result of it. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health or increase. When they say life to those that find them, you can say increase to those that find them. And part of that increase is health to all your flesh. If we're going to be a benefactor of the power that's available in the Word, we have to make a point to hear the Word. And I'm going to get into what do you mean by hearing it. We're hearing it. Certain ways of hearing. Certain priorities of hearing. Praise God. I remember, I had texted Julie today because her testimony fits so perfect within this message. I had a situation. It was when we were in the old building years ago, and someone had called me. I had just finished the same healing series that I'm going to testify that she testified in her testimony to me. I'd finished the same series. And someone had called me and told me what they're going through in their body. And they said, what should I do, Pastor? I said, you should get a time machine and go back 6 or 7, whatever series it was, 6 or 7 weeks, and be in church every single Sunday that I preached on healing. That's what you should have done. And then, of course, I went on to help them after that. But the reason I did that was because that was from the Holy Ghost. I wasn't trying to be mean. Trying to emphasize the hearing. Praise God. Hallelujah. The hearing of the Word. Well, she came to church in that series. I want to read this. She sent me this. I had asked her about this. It says, because I wanted to get her testimony because it's important that you know about her is that she loved Jesus before this, didn't you? Even went to church. Loved the Lord, heaven bound. But also sickness had binded her. But here's what I asked her about it. She said, hi, Pastor Mike. I love when people actually address me politely on a text message. I'm serious. Some people they come right out and just, I want this from you. I want that from you. It's lack of honor. It's getting quiet in here. I know you're thinking of what have I done? What have I done in my past? I'm just telling you the truth. I would never think of addressing my pastor with, hey, pastor, do you have this? Or just come right out and say it. Now, I'm talking as a whole, all the time. Say, what are you talking about? Honor. Yeah. It's just true. Yeah. My favorite is it's just about honor. Say, Pastor, that's taking it too far. No, it's about honor. That's right. There's so much lack of honor. You know what? You know what the Lord told Brother Copeland and Dr. Dufresne? Said the number one thing that lacks in the body of Christ is a lack of honor. That's right. I mean, so many times people are just after. No, how about some honor and some love? Yeah. And some politeness and some manners? Amen. Now, I didn't mean to say all that, but when I saw Hi, Pastor Mike, I was like, that's refreshing. Yes. Praise God. I know you're all thinking about your text messages now. Oh, man, I got you thinking. I'm not thinking about any certain situation. I'm telling you the truth. I just saw that and said, yeah, I'm going to say something. Because you know what? I don't talk about honor towards me a lot. But when the Holy Ghost brings it up, I'll mention it. Amen? Amen? You've never heard me one time tell you that you need to call me Pastor Mike, but if someone asks me about it, I'll tell you, teach you about it. Right? You never hear me stand up here and demand anything. It's a right thing to be polite. It's a right thing to be honorable. Praise God. She said, my symptoms of asthma had gotten progressively worse over 3 years. Each attack got more severe and would take me about 2 weeks to be strong enough to return to normal activities. Daily, she gave me permission to share this, of course. Daily, I was on Advair and Singular, as well as an emergency inhaler as needed when I had attacks. I would need prednisone, which was a steroid, to help my lungs not be so inflamed and to help them get stronger. It became harder and harder to rebound as my doctor was worried about how many flares I would have and how many times a year I was on steroids. My last major asthma attack was on the end of May in 2014. It was the worst one I had ever had. I was taken from the school by ambulance and spent my entire day in the ER. I remember because this was because my four-year-old spent her fourth birthday in the hospital waiting room. That's you. You're the four-year-old, Jay Lynn. This one took me even more time to recover. I was now on breathing treatments every 5 hours. I could not go longer without having labored breathing. I had no energy because of inflammation in my lungs and sat or laid around most of the time. I could not do stairs. I could not carry a laundry basket. I could not pick up my daughter. These efforts triggered more difficulties in breathing. This is a Christian, a lover of Jesus, someone that's going to heaven. Had she died from the lung thing, the asthma, she'd have gone right to heaven and been with him. She was his child. Over time, and on steroids, I would get somewhat better and stronger, but not where I should normally be. I left out your age. She said, not for where a normal blank year old would be. I thought, you don't need to know that, right? We all know you just turned 26 the other day. We all know that. I came to church the last week in June. I just felt like once I sat in those seats and heard you preach, I knew that's where I was belong. 2 weeks later, she had gone on a trip or something, and 2 weeks later she had come back. To hear you start an in-depth series on healing. You know, that series I told the people to go back in time on. She said, I dove in. But what did she say? 2 weeks later, I was there to hear. 2 weeks later, I was there to hear. 2 weeks later, I was there to hear what? An in-depth series on healing. What was I preaching? Healing. She said, I dove in, looked up every scripture, and meditated on it. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. I knew you were telling me I could be free of asthma and live a normal life. I had heard of divine healing before, but this was the first time I took God's word as mine and used my faith. The truth is, by the end of the series, I was already believing that I was healed. But that last Sunday of the series, you had a healing line. I remember the song, There's Power in the Name of Jesus. I knew it was true. When you laid hands on me, I knew I was free. I have never had another asthma attack since then. Gone. Over with. I stopped my breathing treatments and under the doctor's care went off all daily medicines. I am completely healed. Praise God. Janae and Jay Lynn are her daughters. This church saved your mom's life. No, you need to remember that. This church saved your mom's life. Why am I saying that? To have an honor for this place. Why is mom in love with this place? Because it saved her life. Amen. It did. And so many of the others of you have testimonies like that, and I'd like to hear them. Michelle said she's working on one. It's a three-pager. Can't wait to read that one. We might just have to get some snacks or some refreshments for that. I don't know. But we need to hear these things. But here's my point. She changed her situation because she made it a point to hear and hear. It wasn't just she heard the word hear. She went out and dove in and meditated on every healing scripture she could find. What was she doing? Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And then other people calling me, Pastor, what do I do? I'm sick. I'm sick. What do I do? Go back in time 6 weeks and listen to the message. And you'll get the same results as that woman did. Because it works for everybody. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Go to Mark 4 and verse 24. Isn't that an awesome testimony? Yeah. Mark 4 and verse 24. Isn't it better to be able to breathe okay, Julie? It's always better to breathe than not breathe. Mark 4 and verse 24. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear, more shall be given. Jenny, would you pull that verse up in the Amplified Bible, please? Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. It Thank you. He said, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to those who hear. It's not about begging him to get something out of him. He told you how to get something out of him. Hear the word. Hear the word. Hear the word. Something will rise up on the inside of you. Something will come back to you. Hear the word. Praise God is right. Hallelujah. It goes to show you being in the right place can be a matter of life and death. Oh, she'd been in churches. Been in the buildings. Been with fellow Christians. And now things changing. Why? Because it ain't the building that changes lives. It ain't the programs that change life. It's what happens behind this thing. What's going forth behind this thing? Yeah. Well, I've been to church. So what? So what? My grandma went to church her whole life and her life looked hard all the time. It's just the truth. I'm not picking on people. I'm just telling you the truth. We have to make it a point to hear, but hear the right things. And be hungry about hearing the right things. The word brings a person higher. So if it's true that the hearing precedes the increase, if that's true, which we're learning that it is, if you're not hearing the word on a consistent basis, there's something in your life that's being forfeited that you'll never get any other way other than hearing the word. That's it. If hearing the word causes change and brings you to a higher level, I'm talking anything financially, in relationships, in your mind, in your body physically. If you're not hearing the word, that's why I say to people, if you're not hearing and hearing and hearing the word on healing, you don't care that much about being healed. You just want God to just drop it out of heaven magically because you're special. No, you're so special he gave you Jesus and gave you the word and showed you and told you how to do it. Hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Hear and be healed. Well, I don't got time for that. Well, then I guess you got time to be sick. And just enjoy, keep being sick. Or broke. Or depressed. Or fearful. Or anxious. Whatever. The word's a cure for everything. Let me say it again. The word is the cure for everything. Hearing, then the increase. With the measure you meet, it'll be measured back to you. Praise God. I remember a story. This was alarming to me back when we had those blue cards. I don't remember who it was. But had wrote down on there a prayer request for somebody that was not in our church. So we get those all the time. And I release my faith and pray for people all the time. But this particular occasion was different. The Holy Ghost said, don't pray for their healing. They won't get healed. Well, I had dug in a little more and found out that they're Christians. And they go to church, but the church they go to absolutely teaches against divine healing. And so, my prayers can't trump another person's faith. Well, the Bible says faith comes how? By hearing. Well, faith for wrong things comes by hearing. If you tell a kid since they're a little kid till they grow up, you're horrible, you're no good, you're nothing at all, guess what they're going to feel like growing up? I'm no good, I'm nothing at all. Why? They've heard it and heard it and heard it. That's where their faith is. That's what they believe. That's all faith is, a belief. And so if someone's in church and they're hearing, oh, God's not a healer and God does these things and puts sickness on you, just to keep you humble and, you know, this is just the way of the world. He gives you these tests just to try you and keep you close to Him, and He's sovereign, He can do it. If you hear that week after week after week, my prayer for your healing is not going to work when the person is sitting there believing there's no way they can be healed. And the Holy Ghost told me don't pray for them. Where you go to church, what you hear, matter of life and death. Matter of poverty and prosperity. Matter of decrease and increase. What you're hearing. It's all about what you're hearing. What separates? That's why, you know, I think about people that come into our churches. For the first time, you know, I've had people say to me, Pastor, I've sensed in my heart there's more. Well, the more is everything in the Word they're not getting at their dead place. And they come in and they'll experience that, but then they'll get even more of the word that challenges them. I've never seen that. That's uncomfortable with my flesh. And the devil starts giving them thoughts to why? Yank them right out. You have to guard what you're hearing. The devil comes to steal the word. And the Holy Ghost told me, don't pray for them. They will not get their healing. They will not get their healing. Why? They're hearing the wrong thing. Yeah. Proverbs 4, verse 22. Now let's go on here tonight. Proverbs 4 and verse 22. He said this, remember verse 20, he said, attend to my words, incline my knee. You got to have good attendance to the word. If you don't know anything in school about a certain subject, let's say you're in college and they're teaching you something to do. Let's say you're going to college and you're studying to be a nurse and they're teaching something, a certain procedure, a certain thing to do on a patient when they're in the hospital, and you don't know how to do that. And all week long is going to be taught on that, and then the following Monday there's a test on it. And you decide that week, I'm going to take that week off of school. Well, guess what? If you know nothing about it and you show up on Monday, your test result's not going to be very good. Why? You had poor attendance. You got to have good attendance to the word. A lot of people have poor attendance to the word and they get a failing grade in life. Their finances don't look like an A+. Their mind doesn't look like an A+. Their health doesn't look like an A+. Why? Poor attendance to the word. He said, if you'll attend to the word, again, not coming to church, the act of coming to church where the word's taught, being watered where the word's taught, then it'll lead to increase. He said, for they are life unto those that find them. Now look at this, health to all their flesh. You know what that word health means in the Hebrew, which the Old Testament was written in? Medicine. The Bible says that the Word of God is like medicine to your flesh. Well, what does medicine do? Helps you get better. Helps you increase. Helps the symptoms subside. Helps things go away. Helps you live more peaceful. Less pain. He says the word brings health to all your flesh, increase, or it's medicine. It works like a medicine to your flesh. Well, let's think about that. With medicine, I'll use a good one that will really bring it clear to us. Birth control pills are a medicine. That's good. Don't get nervous now. Don't get nervous in here. Well, I'm going to take it on this day, and then I'm going to skip 3 weeks. And then I might take it for a couple days, and then I'm going to skip another month and take it again. Let me tell you what, that birth control ain't going to be medicine. You're going to have to start buying diapers. It's medicine. What's medicine meant to be? Taken faithfully. For medicine to work, faithfully. Now, I know that this is really kind of a stretch concerning medicine. It's not really a medicine, but it is a benefit. Toothpaste is a help to our teeth. Right? Well, I'm going to brush my teeth in the month of March, but I'm going to take April off. And then I'm going to brush my teeth again. Well, that toothpaste ain't going to have the effect that it's supposed to have. Well, I'm going to come to church on Sunday, and then maybe I'll come back in 3 weeks. Maybe I'll just hear the. I came on Sunday. I don't need to do anything on Monday with the word. With the word, it's medicine. Yeah. Think of it as birth control. Yeah. Well, I took my birth control Sunday. I don't need to take it Monday. I don't need to take it Tuesday. I took it Sunday. I don't need to take it Wednesday. I took it Sunday. I don't need to take it Thursday. I took it Sunday. I don't need to take it Friday. I took it Sunday. I don't need to take it Saturday. I took it Sunday. It's medicine. It won't work. People that suffer with high blood pressure that take that. Go ahead, take your medicine just once a month, once a week. See what happens. Don't really do that, but you know what I'm saying, right? What's medicine meant to be? Faithfully taken all the time. For it to work. For the word to work, it has to be treated like a medicine. Constantly consumed day after day to get the desired results. Amen. Go to Mark 7 and verse 24. Mark 7 and verse 24. Oh, man. Oh, man. It says, and from there he arose, Mark 7, 24, and went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and she came and fell to his feet. She went where the power was. The woman was Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. His daughter needs deliverance, or her daughter needs deliverance. Her daughter needs a form of healing, change, increase. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. Now notice this, she wouldn't even come to Jesus for help if she had not first heard. What started the change in her daughter's life? The hearing. But that's not what I want to get to. Jesus said, let the children first be filled. Now what he's talking about is the children of Israel. This woman's not a Jew. The Bible says she was Greek, Syrophoenician. She wasn't a Jewish person. Well, the Jews were the children of Israel. They were God's people. He said, let the children be filled first, for it is not meet or not right to take the children's bread. What was Jesus likening healing to or calling it? The healing bread. What did she need? Healing. What did he say? The bread is not for her. It's for the Jews. Well, what bread is she looking for? Healing bread. Now, it's important that you remember that. He said, the bread's not for her. Now, we know she got some things straightened around, pressed through in faith, and got it, received, praise God. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. Matthew 6 and verse 11. Give us this day our once a week bread. Our once a month bread. No. He just got done calling the healing bread, or healing the bread that belongs to the children of Israel. That's what she needed. He said, no, that bread, that healing bread. Now he's saying, give us this day our daily bread. Well, what did we say about Proverbs chapter 4? That the healing bread, or the word, equals health to all thy flesh. He said that bread is to be taken on how much of a basis? A daily basis. Now, we know the word is like spirit food, that it translates into increase. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man will not truly live. Now, let me just help everyone here tonight. No matter where you're at, I don't care if life is hell on earth or life is heaven on earth, to get out of hell on earth and to maintain heaven on earth. Jesus said man cannot live by bread alone. Now, he can't be talking about a grilled cheese sandwich, because he says, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He says people cannot live without the word of God. Well, we know people do live without the word of God. There's many people out in the world that have a heartbeat, that are alive, and don't have any word of God in their life. So he's not talking about natural bread. He said, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word. He's saying, to truly live, to get out of hell on earth. Now here you are. I'm telling you what your help is right now. If you're in hell on earth, this is your help. Amen. If you're in heaven on earth, this is how you maintain it. He said, man can't truly live. What's live? Abundant Zoe life. Heaven on earth life, the victory life, prosperity, healing, joy, all these wonderful things that your pastor experiences all the time, and so many of you do as well. Amen. I remember when I got born again, January 10th, 2002, Reverend Randy Nelbon gave me an NIV Men's Devotional Bible, and I shut the TV off. I shut all the movies off. I locked myself up, and I devoured that thing, and you know what the funny thing that happened was? Increase happened. Change happened. Addiction started falling off. Sickness started falling off. Poverty started going away. It wasn't overnight, but through change, the seed of the word, just like corn doesn't spring up overnight. But as the word kept getting sown and watered onto me, change started coming into my life. If you're here tonight and life is hell on earth, Jesus said, can you pull that up, Matthew 4:4, Jenny, please? Matthew 4:4. If life is hell on earth, you want to get out of it? You need the word. Why? Change is always preceded by the word. What do you... You could say, well, my life's not hell on earth, and my life's not necessarily heaven on earth. It's kind of in the middle. Well, let's get to the heaven on earth. How? Change is going to be preceded by hearing the Word. Change is going to be preceded by hearing the Word. Letting the Word be sown unto you. Letting the Word be sown. It starts by being faithful in this place. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live. That word live is the Greek word zoe. It means the abundant life, the God kind of life, the heaven on earth kind of life. He said, man cannot live. Man cannot experience this abundant life that I came to give you by bread alone. He said, there's not natural things can't do this for you. But they can live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But why did I bring this up? Because just like Jesus likened the bread and we likened it to medicine, He's likened the word that leads to life or health, He likens it to food. Well, you don't eat once a week. You don't. You don't eat Sunday morning. Like a lot of Christians do spiritually. Well, I eat Sunday morning. I don't need to eat Sunday or Wednesday night. I don't need to eat on Monday. I don't need to eat on Tuesday. I'm talking spiritually now with the word. We said this before. Try that naturally. Well, I was in church Sunday morning. I don't need to do anything with God and the Word on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday. You're starving yourself. You're weak spiritually. Because Jesus said, if you want to live, you want to get your spirit strong and live an abundant life, it's a daily bread. It's a medicine. It's like food. Well, medicine and food are not to be administered once a week for them to work. Praise God. What are we talking about? An emphasis on the hearing. What does that mean? It's not enough just to come to church Sunday morning and Wednesday night and think, you wouldn't do that just to eat. You wouldn't do that with your medicine. Well, I took my birth control Sunday morning and Wednesday night. We're good. Monday, Tuesday, we're good. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we're good. You wouldn't do that. But you do it with the word all the time. Because somehow the devil lies to us. Well, we were in church. Man, that's a checklist checked off our conscience, and we're good now. No, I remember one person came into my office not too long ago, and they sat down. He said, Pastor, I finally did what you said. I said, well, that's a good thing. They said, I got into the word. I shut my phone off, shut off all the stuff on my phone, and started just getting in the word, and I saw the increase. It works. It works. Joshua chapter 1:8. We're almost done. Joshua chapter 1:8. Again, this isn't anybody condemning you. It's trying to tell you how to get out of the pit you're in. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law, this word of God, the what? The medicine, the bread that causes you to live, he says, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. But now look at the end here. For then you make your way prosperous and good success. You know what that sounds like to me? Increase, abundant life, living. Well, he tells you how to get there. Here's the recipe. If you want prosperity and good success, here's the recipe. It's not hard. He says, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, and we're going to talk about that in the meditation. But you shall meditate in the word, how often? Once a week on a Sunday morning. No, that does not lead to prosperity and good success. It's better than no word. One meal a week is better than no meals a week. But you even eat just one meal a week, and you're going to struggle the rest of the week. Amen. He says, the recipe for prosperity and good success is to be in the Word day and night. What's that mean? Wake up today, I'm in the Word. We'll go through the day to the night, I'm in the Word. Wake up the next day, what am I? In the Word. The same thing you do with medicine, the same thing you do with food. That's good. Amen. People take their medicine in the morning, people take medicine at the night, people take medicine during the day, people eat in the morning, they eat at lunch, they eat at night. It's true. And that's, they want to get the effects of it, right? You stop eating for a whole day, 2 days, you start to feel it. People's spirit, man, the realm that we dominate and are victorious from, are sitting there, weak and crying out, I'm starving. Feed me. Feed me. Yeah. Now, let me tell you, you know, we talked about how the devil will give people lies about things. Oh, you're hearing the word too much. This, whatever, he gives lies, you know. The lie that will come out of this verse will be, well, I don't have time for that. Well, I guess God was a dummy then. And God didn't know what your life would be like. I'll just say this. I'm going to say it. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to stand on the stop step so you can really see me. If you don't have time for this, then your life's out of order. Ouch. Do I need to hide?
No.
If you don't have time to come to church, your life's out of order. Yeah, but I need the money. I know, wrong thinking. I'm just telling you, I took a job, it took me out of church, out of order. I don't have time to do day and night. Well, then I guess God was dumb and you must be the exception. No, that's your problem, not his. You all prayed for boldness. It's your fault. I don't have time for this. Then you don't have time for the prosperity and the good success that the word will bring you. Don't tell me you can't wake up 20 minutes earlier. Don't tell me that you can't take the word in your car. Don't tell me that you can't meditate on the word throughout your day. Don't tell me that you can't shut the TV off and get in the word. Don't tell me you have no time for it. We make time for that which is important. I'm not saying you're not busy and I'm not saying you don't have things to do. But if your life is so out of order that you can't get to church and you can't hear the word and you can't do what the word says, you're out of order. Because God's way is best. He's not going to conform. He's not going to say, yeah, you know, I know the word says prosperity, good success for day and night, people that are in the word, but this person, you know, their life's really busy and their life's really hard. So for them, I'm going to change it and the prosperity and good success can come from them by just being in the word once a week and it'll work for them. No, that's not how God's going to do it. Your flesh is thinking, why'd you bring me here? That's what your flesh is saying right now, but your spirit's saying, preach it, Pastor. Preach it, Pastor. Preach it, Pastor. Your word's saying, this is what I needed to hear. I've been so hungry. Hallelujah. Day and night, day and night. Meditate. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. There's a level that God wants to bring people to. The increase will not happen. It's always preceded by the hearing of the word. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. I'm going to help you with the day and night when we close here. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. See, that's the problem. You don't delight in the word, you won't spend time with it. Notice, he delighted in the word because he delighted in it. A lot of us, we delight in our TV shows, we delight in our hobbies, we delight in our recreation. What happens? It takes up our time. Why? We delight in it. We get our pleasure, our joy. No, no, no. Delight in the word. You'll spend time with it. Well, how are you going to get that? You're going to get a revelation that I need to do it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, there it is again. Does he meditate day and night? Well, what's the result of that? And he, who? The one that will meditate in the word day and night. Shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Look at what results are from the person that will gobble this up. Well, Jesus said, didn't he? The measure that you hear is the measure that will come back to you. This is life, it's power. The more you consume life and power, the more life and power shows up in your natural life. Amen. What happened to Julie? She's going through darkness. She's going through bad things. Things are hurting in her life. What does she do? Starts consuming life and power. And what happens? Increase comes to her. No medication anymore. No more breathing treatments. Completely healed of it. Amen. Now, in closing, I want to say this. Notice the two words that stuck out in both. Well, there was three words, actually. Day and night is two. What's that talking about? Consistency. But what did he say to do day and night? Meditate day and night. meditate day and night. He's telling you if you want to prosper, have prosperity, good success, leaf bringing forth fruit at the right time, your leaf not withering. He says you got to meditate day and night. Well, what about that word meditate? Because I know people say, I can't do that. I go to work. You can meditate at work. Well, I got to do this. No, you can do it. God would not have told you to do it. Say, well, when he wrote this, he didn't know what 2019 was going to be like. No. He's already been to 2019. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's already been to 2019, 2029, and 2049 if Jesus hasn't come back by then. He's already been there and back. He knows exactly what life's going to be. He knew there'd be cars. He knew there'd be jobs. He knew there'd be cell phones. He knew there'd be Facebook. He knew there'd be Instagram. He knew there'd be Twitter. He knew there'd be television. And yet he said, still wrote it. What's he saying? I'm not going to conform to you. My word's never changing. You conform to it. I don't care about all the other stuff. If you want prosperity and good success, he said, here's the recipe. It's like grandma gives you a recipe for her chocolate chip cookies. I mean, to the, you know, just to the every ingredient, right to the exact measurement. Well, I don't want, and you love how they taste. You love they're the best ever. Well, I don't want to put that much flour in. Well, I don't want to put that much chocolate chips in. Well, I don't want to put that much sugar in. I don't want to put that much egg in. Well, then you don't want the exact cookie that grandma makes then. I want prosperity and say, I love it. It tastes so good. Okay, you got the recipe. Meditate day and night. But I don't want to do that. Well, then you don't want grandma's cookie. Amen. But the word is meditate. Now, here's what I want to help you with this word. All the word meditate means two things. To mutter and to ponder. The word mutter means to talk. Didn't he say the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth? What's he saying? Constantly talk the word. Talk the word. That's meditation in the word, to mutter it to yourself. Let me give you an example. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. When I was going through the trial after starting the church and being $2,000 short a month, you know what I was saying all day long? Father, I thank you. You'll meet my needs according to your riches and glory. That's what you said. What am I doing? I'm meditating on the word. What's that lead to? Increase. Why? Because when I'm doing that, faith's rising up. You know what the word ponder means? To think. You know what he's telling you to do day and night? Talk the word, think the word. 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 All day long. Oh yeah, you can do that at work. What if you actually woke up 20 minutes early and started your day in God's word and got it in you? So then the whole rest of the day at breakfast time, you're thinking the word. You're on your way to work and you're thinking about the scriptures. You're talking to yourself the scriptures. You know what you're doing? You're doing Joshua 1:8 and Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. And the result will be health to your flesh, increase, prosperity, good success, abundant life. Everything in the increase side is preceded by the hearing. The meditation of the word, you're muttering it, you're thinking about it. You're muttering it, you're thinking about it all day long. You can do that all day long. See, we get the idea the devil tells us he goes to the extreme and says, oh, I guess Pastor Mike's telling me I got to quit my job and go out into the cabin in the woods and just spend all day long in the Word. No, God knows you need a paycheck. God knows you have a life. But why can't you take the Word in your mind and in your mouth in your car? Why can't you take the Word in your mind and in your mouth and in the shower? Why can't you take the Word in your mind and your mouth when you're standing in front of the mirror? Why can't you take the Word in your mind and your mouth when you're ironing your clothes, when you're mowing the grass, when you're at your job? Why can't you? You can. You can. You can. But you got to hear and hear and hear to proceed the increase. Amen? Were you blessed tonight? I mean, we just told it like it is. Said some bold things there. Nobody's going to dare send me a text message without saying hi first. I know, I ruined the whole thing for you. But you do know that I love you. And at times I've been guilty of that myself, and I just go back and say, No, let me address you and be polite. So I'm guilty as charged, praise God. Father, thank you for helping us tonight. Lord, we love you so much. We're so grateful and so thankful. Father, to be in a place, Lord, that will tell us how to get out of the hell we're in, to tell us how to get out of the mess we're in. This is the recipe to get into more and to get into increase. Faith is always birthed with knowledge, and knowledge only comes by the hearing. Faith leads to increase, but there's always a starting point of faith, and it's always the hearing. So, Father, I pray that people make adjustments in their life, that they would actually be silly enough to believe your word and to believe their pastor, that, wow, maybe, just maybe, if I would take time and do this, maybe, just maybe, I would see change. Maybe the Bible is true, and it is. So, Father, I pray that people would receive from this, Lord, that people would walk into increase tonight. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. I know the thought that, well, I'll just say it this way. I know there's a thought that's going on right now. And it's, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to expose it by the word of knowledge. Well, that's good for those people. That's not for me. No, 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 no. This is exactly for you. This is exactly your help. Well, that's just not me. This isn't my personality. No, 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 stop. Those are all lies from the devil. And devil, you're being exposed. I know that thought's going on right now. Well, I don't know. I don't know about that for me. This just isn't my cup of tea. This isn't my personality. This isn't... No, 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 no. This is exactly what you need. This is your help. This is your answer. And I'm telling you, God's got better for you. God's got more for you. God's got a life that you could never even dream of yourself. God's got help for you, grace for you, mercy for you, health for you, prosperity for you, favor for you. A life called abundant life. And this is the answer. And it won't come any other way. There's no other way to get it. It's not about how you feel, your personality, or it's about God's word. So make the right choices. Make the right decisions. Plant in the Bible church, teaching church for all of us. And stay faithful. Wherever that is, if it's here, great. If it's somewhere else, great. But make sure it's a Bible teaching church. This is your help. But I know the thought the devil gives people. He's a lion. He's a lion spirit from the pit of hell that just wants to ruin people's lives. And he'll tell people all sorts of things that, oh, don't go to church, you've been there enough, when this is the very place we get our help. Oh, that church thing's not for me, when it's the very thing that God says. Just like I said on Sunday, when he tells people not to tithe, when all God said about tithing is that it's going to bring increase to the church and increase to your life. But he'll give people all sorts of thoughts to think on why not to do it. Why? He's just trying to hold you down. So, Father, I thank you. That's exposed in the name of Jesus. Satan, take your hands off that situation. We command the blinders to be removed in that situation, in Jesus' name. A revelation, fresh revelation. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight or if you're listening online, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's the starting point. Because when you receive Jesus, the Bible says you become a child of God. See, God's not obligated to help the whole world. He's not. He saved the whole world. But he's not obligated to every person in the world. He's obligated to his family. He's obligated to his children. I'm not obligated to every child that walks around in Jamestown, Lakewood, and South Dayton. I'm only obligated to my own family. The judge ain't going to throw me in jail for not taking care of so-and-so's kid that lives over a neighbor across the road. You're going to throw me in jail if I don't take care of my children. Well, God takes care of his children. And by getting saved, you get into the family of God. So first and foremost, if you're here tonight or if you're listening by live stream and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, this is the starting point. You're not saying, I'm joining this church. You're not saying anything except, I want to receive Jesus. I want to become a child of God. Oh, he's a good dad. He's faithful, kind and merciful. So if you're here tonight, you never received Jesus, we're not going to embarrass you. I won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. The Bible says to receive this, you got to believe in Jesus. Doesn't mean you have to understand everything about the Bible or church or anything like that. You just have to believe in your heart. Yeah, I believe Jesus is real. I don't get it. I don't get how a guy could raise from the dead, but for some reason in my heart, I believe it. That's the first step, and the second step is to let him in, to invite him in. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. Is there anybody in here tonight? I remember I made this decision on January 10th, 2002, and it changed everything for me. It took me out of my hell. Anybody here want to receive Jesus tonight? You've never done it before. Just lift your hand in the air. Is there anybody at all? No pressure for anybody. Just lift your hand high in the air. Have you put it down? We're not going to call anybody forward, have anybody stand up, say anything on their own. But if you want to receive Jesus for the very first time, if you never have, would you lift your hand high in the air? Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands in the building, but Lord, if by chance there's someone in the building or listening by live stream that's never made Jesus the Lord of their life, I pray they would not pass from this life till they've accepted Jesus. And Father, it's so simple. It's not raising hands that get people saved. It's calling on your name. And that just looks like this. If you're here and you should have raised your hand, or you wanted to raise your hand but you're shy, or you're listening on live stream and of course I couldn't see you, it's simple. This is the prayer you pray. You just come to Him with a humble heart and say, Lord, I do believe You died on that cross and that You rose again. I believe that. And Lord, I ask You to come into my life. I make You my Lord and my Savior. If you'll do that, it has nothing to do with raising your hand. It's all about believing and receiving. He'll save you. And then for everybody listening, the next step is planting in a Bible-teaching church. He said flourishing depends on it. You can't flourish in life till you plant. And why flourishing happens when you plant? Because when you plant in a Bible-teaching church, you're hearing the Word. It's being sown unto you, and there can't help but be change and growth. Father, can we stand to our feet and just worship Him tonight and thank Him? A Wednesday night service that changed all of our lives. Praise God. Who'd have thought? We don't just play church around here. We don't just show up to go through the motions. We offer people the opportunity to have their whole world changed. And Lord, it's because of the Word. It's not because of me. It's not because of the name on the building. It's because of You. We magnify You tonight. We glorify the name of Jesus. Come on and just tell Him you love Him. Thank Him tonight like you mean it. Lord, we bless You and praise You. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. See you Sunday morning. I need you to do something real quick.